see everybody today. We've got several visitors. We'd like to see all of our visitors. And we want to come back at every opportunity that you have to be with us and worship. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you have questions about worship or about the church or about the Bible, any way that we can help you, just let us know. We'd be glad to sit down and study the Word with you, to pray with you, to help you spiritually any way that we possibly can. Let's bow the Lord first. Father, we are grateful for your love and grateful for your many, many blessings. Grateful that we can meet together. Grateful, Father, that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. We know that's through the blood of Christ. Not anything we've done, but what Christ did for us at the cross. We're grateful for that. We're grateful that Jesus established the church long, long ago. We know, Father, that there are some who say the church is not necessary. You've told us that the church is the body of Christ, that we are to live out Christ in our lives and do His will in our families, in our communities, in our jobs, our neighborhoods, wherever we are. Help us to be living Christ and thinking as Jesus thought and speaking as Jesus spoke and doing the things that Jesus did to really live out and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Bless us now, Father, in our study. We are thankful for the Bible. Thankful that we have it in many translations. Thankful we have Bible helps, concordances, and encyclopedias, and commentaries, and comes to never forget the Bible itself is our authority. Bless us in our study this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. This morning we want to turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15, our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 15. It is a long chapter, but we're going to read this chapter together. Then came Jesus. Scribes and Pharisees, which were Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people will draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that this defiles a man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" He answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus departed from thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind, dumb and maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. The disciples said unto him, When shall we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? They said, 7, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to the disciples, and the disciples of the multitude. And he did, and they all did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. They that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children, and he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. I read this chapter this morning because it really is, goes along with what we really want to talk about this morning, and that is evangelism. Jesus made evangelism a priority in the church. He said, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is what we often call the Great Commission. We call it that because earlier Jesus had given the apostles the limited commission to only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but now they were going to all the world. And certainly the book of Acts, it is an expansive mission. First part of the book of Acts, everything takes place in Jerusalem. Next part of Acts takes place in Judea and Samaria, chapters 8 through 12. Then chapter 13 to the end of the book, Paul goes on his missionary journeys and establishes the gospel and preaches the gospel all over the known world at that time. And that's something that we need to think about. We have done a lot of mission work, and I'm glad that we have, and I hope we do more. But we also need to think about the fact that we need to preach the gospel to the people across the street as well as the people across the world. And we need to be aware of the fact that every effort in the church has to really be a subheading to the idea of evangelism. That when we do benevolent work, we're not just trying to meet the physical needs of people, but we're trying to influence people to show Christ to them so that we might be able to study with them and help them to obey the gospel of Christ. Jesus gives us 3 attitudes here in this chapter that I believe if we would follow the example of Jesus and what he is talking about, we can have a key, at least partially, the way that we should be doing evangelism today. First of all, when Jesus is talking in verses 1 through 20, he's talking about this situation with the Pharisees, and they are just have a real controversy because Jesus' disciples are not washing their hands. Now, this has nothing to do with hygiene. This has nothing to do with germs and keeping clean and all those kind of things that we think about today when we wash our hands. The fact is that they had this as just a ritual to do this to show that they were clean before God, and so that they washed their hands this way. It had nothing to do with having actual clean hands, having dirt on your hands. You might just pour a little water on it, and that'd be it. But the fact is that his disciples did not do this. The Pharisees had a real problem with this. When Jesus turns it around, he says, You make void the word of God by your traditions. Because the tradition was that they had something to take care of their parents' money. They said, well, I really can't do it. It's a gift. And it's in Mark's account, it says, it's the word korban, which means a gift to the temple. Jesus said, the scripture says, honor thy father and mother. And he says, and you should honor your father and mother, which means take care of your father and mother, not just obey them, but even take care of them. You can't do that because you have this tradition of taking this gift or this money, and you say it's Corban, it goes to the temple. Now, everybody knew that if the Pharisees put money in the temple, eventually it's going to come back to the Pharisees. That's not really a gift. But Jesus said, that's what you're doing. He said, you are violating the scripture, honor thy father and mother, to keep your traditions that you talk about washing your hands. He says, you were so strict on washing hands, but when it comes to the real scripture, honor your father and mother, you let this go. He said, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. If we're going to be evangelistic, the first thing we have to be concerned about is what Jesus was concerned about, and that's truth. Jesus said, the scripture says this, you teach this. Scripture is truth. Your traditions are man-made, they are not truth, and we need to be concerned about truth today. Only truth can save people. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, John 8:32. The book of Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. The whole point is that take what is true, not what is tradition, not what is in your family, not as what's in the community, not as what's in the nation, but what is truth, and truth comes from God. Now we understand this in so many other areas of life. When it comes to medicine, you know that if you've got a particular problem, a doctor prescribes a particular medicine. You can't just go to the pharmacy and say, you know, just give me some pink pills or some red pills or blue pills or whatever. You've got to have a precise prescription to take care of that exact problem that you have. And everybody knows if you have the wrong prescription, you might get in serious trouble. Truth matters when it comes to medicine. Truth matters when it comes to legal things. We all are aware of the fact that there is probably an overbearing in regard to legal matters today. But we all realize the fact that when you have something that is of a legal nature, you have to go to a lawyer, you've got to have things taken care of, you've got to have all the things just precise. We all realize the fact when it comes to wills, when it comes to other documents, buying property or having businesses, legalities are necessary. Truth matters when it comes to legal matters. When it comes to the architectural realm, truth matters. There have been a number of situations. They have a civic center up in Hartford, Connecticut. They had a bridge down in Miami, Florida. And the bridge was a brand new bridge, and everybody talked about how wonderful it is, but the thing collapsed just a few days after it was built. Why? Because it wasn't built according to the truth of architecture. That civic center in Hartford collapsed, again, because they did not look at all of the facts that dealt with architecture for that civic center. We realize you have to have truth. Now we realize that in almost every area of life. But when it comes to matters of religion, when it comes to matters of faith, people say, oh, it doesn't matter. Paul pronounced a condemnation on those who would preach any other gospel, Galatians chapter 1. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. If Jesus made that standard, doing the will of the Father, it is clear you can know the will of the Father. You can know what God wants you to do today. Paul talked about those who would not be saved in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 because they received not the love of the truth. And that's what we find ourselves today. If we are really going to be evangelistic, we've got to be concerned about truth. We've got to realize the fact that the Bible is true, the Bible is right. What men say, what men teach, is in error. That doesn't mean that we're haughty. It doesn't mean that we're arrogant. It doesn't mean that we have a know-it-all kind of attitude. We need to be as humble and as kind and as gentle as we can possibly be. But at the same time, we need to say, here is what truth is. Here's what the truth says. Here's what the book says. A number of times people have said in teaching somebody, all they kept repeating was, well, the Bible says this. The Bible says it's not to be arrogant about it, but to say what the Bible says is. And I think that's where we need to be concerned. Now, the second thing that we find Jesus concerned is in verses 21 to 28, in this Canaanite woman. And this Canaanite woman comes, and she's got a daughter that has a devil. and she wants to be, have her daughter healed, and Jesus makes a statement about, well, you can't feed the crumbs of the food to the children, or to the dogs, you feed it to the children. She says, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs. And Jesus sees her great faith. And that's what we've got to think about today, that when we talk about evangelism, we have to think about individuals. Yes, we want to evangelize the whole city of Rogersville. Yes, we want to do as much in Lauderdale County as we possibly can. But when it all comes down to it, it comes down to that individual. I'm not really an individual to the United States government. I'm 047465545. That's my social security. That's all I am. I'm not really an individual to the MasterCard company. I'm 884-606-1603. And it could go on and on. That so often in the world today, we are just a number. I know a number of years ago, people talk about computers and the internet. And they talk about how you can send a message to 5 million in 5 minutes. Well, that was some time back. Recently, they came out with a new thing that now you can send a message to 5 billion in 5 minutes, and maybe less than that. The fact is, people get things bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's true that you go to a ball game and sit in a stadium with 100,000 people. It is true they'll talk that there's maybe 30 or 40 million more that are watching this ball game on TV. People just think if it's bigger, it's better. Business has got to be bigger and bigger. Government has got to be bigger and bigger. And unfortunately, even in churches, they've got to be bigger and bigger. And they have what they call now mega churches. And again, we're not saying that a large church is a sin. Not at all. But when people have the idea that the numbers are all that matters. I was talking to a denominational preacher one time, and we were talking about various ministries and works. He said, our numbers are going up and up and up. He says, that's the only thing that counts. The numbers go up and up and up. Well, what about truth? What about the fact that when you get all these numbers, people sometimes feel, I'm just not important. I'm just a part of the crowd. I'm really not that important. Well, you are important. The Bible talks about how God even numbers the hairs on your head, Matthew 10:30. And we need to remember that people have various situations. And we need to say, how can I look at this individual? What can I do to help this individual? And when you look through the book of Acts, you have more occasions of talking to individuals than you have public preaching. Oh, you do have public preaching in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 and other places. But you have stories like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. You have stories like Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, or Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, or Lydia, or Apollos, or others as you go through the book of Acts. And those individual stories show the fact that the gospel was really for individuals. Doctors don't treat people in groups. Doctors treat people as an individual. Salesmen, while they have at times done some things in groups, for the most part, salesmen know if they're going to make a sale, they've got to talk to an individual if they're really going to do this. We are going to be judged as individuals. Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to be judged as an individual, not as a person in Rogersville, not as a person in the state of Alabama, not as a member of the Oliver Church of Christ, but as an individual. We will be judged. We have to continually remember God wants us to teach people individually. And thirdly, the last situation we have here in this chapter, Jesus is concerned about truth. Jesus is concerned about individuals. Jesus is concerned about the needs of people. He feeds the 4,000 here. And evangelism is our task. Evangelism is our assignment. But in doing that, we've got to also think about the needs of people. Here, Jesus wanted to feed these people. And of course, it's a miracle. He takes the loaves and fishes and he breaks them and he breaks them and he breaks them and breaks them and feeds everybody. We're not going to have a miracle today. But we do need to think about people as individuals and how we can help them as individuals. I had a teacher once who was trying to teach a man. The man was the most rational person he ever met. He said, but when he started studying the Bible, the man became the most irrational man and the most nonsensical man you could imagine. He said he was just almost crazy in every Bible study. This preacher who had a doctorate in got a master's degree, rather, in counseling. Decided he was not going to do the studies for a while. He was going to try to counsel the man, and he did. They found out the man had been molested as a child by his father. And whenever he heard the word father, his mind just went back to that. His mind went completely irrational. And every time they started a Bible study, what did this preacher do? He began the Bible study with prayer. And how did he begin every prayer? Our Father in heaven. The preacher then put the two together, that when he said the word Father in heaven, this man thought of his physical father and the abuse that he had suffered. That's why he became so irrational. For a number of months, the preacher counseled this man and worked with him as an individual in dealing with this problem and dealing with his thoughts and dealing with what had happened to him. And when they finally got through with that, the man was able to see how that God, as our spiritual father, was not like his physical father. And when he was able to understand that and really adhere that and believe that, he then was able to listen to the gospel and obey the gospel. The preacher knew he had to deal with the man as an individual and his individual needs. Now, at that time, it was a very difficult one. Granted, very, very difficult situation. Needed counseling, professional counseling, granted. But sometimes there are situations where we just need to think about what can we do for somebody physically. There was a preacher named Otis Gatewood who preached all across America, preached out in Utah, wrote books about Mormons and things. And when World War II ended, Brother Gatewood decided he was going to go to Europe and preach to the German people. And it was really kind of a unique thing because people were still winding down the war and recovering from the war. He said, we need to get over there to that country. We need to preach to those people. We need to teach them now. They need Jesus more than ever. So he went over there by himself, hired an interpreter, would go out on street corners, and German people would gather around. That's something very unusual in our country, but in Europe at that time, people would gather around to somebody who would be preaching, and they would listen and ask questions. So Brother Gatewood is preaching, and he's talking about the need to believe in God, the need to believe in Christ, the need to obey the Bible. There was a young man in the crowd, and his name was Gottfried Reichel. And Gottfried Reichel was a teenager. He had been a member of what they call the Hitler Youth. Now, the Hitler Youth was the last group that Adolf Hitler used to fight the Americans and the Russians as they were closing in on Berlin. He took all these teenagers that had been part of this group, the Hitler Youth, gave them guns and helmets and said, now, we want you to go out and fight these people, fight. Anyway, most of those young men got shot, got killed. But Gottfried Reichel survived. Here he was standing here listening to Otis Gatewood preach about the gospel, preach about Christ and the need to obey Christ. And finally, Gottfried Reichel just looked him in the eye and said, you talk so much about God and Christ, and I don't even have a pair of shoes. Brother Gatewood looked down, and there he was, this young man was standing there barefoot. Everybody looked down, and they saw that he was barefoot. Brother Gatewood didn't know what to do, but he bent down, and he took off his shoes, handed them to Gottfried Reichel, and then walked away. He said he didn't know really, he couldn't think about how desperate these people were and how bad situations they were. He didn't know it, but when he walked home in his stocking feet, that young man was following him with those shoes. Got to Brother Gatewood's apartment, knocked on the door, and said, I'm now ready to listen to what you've got to say about Christ. The Brother Gatewood talked Gottfried Reichel, baptized him into Christ. He came home to America, went to a Christian college, became a preacher, went back to Germany, was one of the most effective preachers we had in all of Germany, all of his life. And it was because of a pair of shoes. What I'm saying is that there are times we've got to look at people's needs. Jesus saw these people were hungry. Jesus saw these people needed food. And it's true, if a man is starving, not likely he's going to listen to our message until he has something to eat. It is true that there may be other needs that people have, whether they be emotional needs, like this preacher counseling man, or giving somebody a pair of shoes. That's true. Now, I'm not saying that we just give people things, you know, without any concern for the fact that we've got to study with them. But there are times we've got to think, what are the needs of this individual? So I see these three things that in this chapter. Jesus is concerned about truth. Jesus is concerned about the individual. Jesus is concerned about people's needs. And I would encourage all of us that we do the same today. That we think about truth. We think about individuals. We think about people's needs. Maybe various individuals, like the Jews, they need to go and see Jesus as the Messiah. Maybe they're like the Gentiles who need to hear the fact that there is a God, and there is the one God, the true God, that you find that the Bible talks about, one true God. We don't know, but what people as individuals say, what does this person need? Maybe the person has never studied the Bible. Maybe they've studied it and they've made a false gospel. Maybe they've had false doctrine. We don't know, but we've got to look at them as individuals, look at their needs, apply the truth to their life, help them to see the truth, obey the truth, and one day hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to sing the invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do it this morning. Put Jesus on the waters of baptism. You do that after you have believed in Christ and you've repented of your sins and confessed your faith and you are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you need to do that, we encourage you to do it this morning. If as a child of God, you know you need to rededicate your life, why not make a rededication this morning? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come while we stand.